This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Kingswood Community Center. Actually, that's the one down I used to work. It was a joke. You didn't know where we were. Anyway, it's great to be here. And
where am I? Who are you and what's going on?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
At a heated congressional hearing today, Attorney General William Barr defended the actions of federal agents in Portland, and he said he isn't doing anything to help President Trump's friends or punish his enemies.
That's not how I remember it.
Yeah, I'm answering your question.
Well, you gotta let him answer.
Reclaiming my time, and I know you don't want to answer.
He said he found
reclaiming my time without political bias.
He said he
and
found
in April,
evidence.
Reclaiming my time.
When people resist law enforcement, they're not peaceful.
Reclaiming my time. I'm surprised at your lack of respect.
That it is not a self-defining term, as they
only got 2 minutes, sir.
That they recognize,
Mr. Barr.
Yeah, but this is a hearing. I thought I was the one that was supposed to be heard.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
38 people unmasked Michael Flynn's name 49 times in a 2-month time frame. Is this an issue that Mr. Durham is looking into?
I've asked another U.S. attorney to look into the issue of unmasking.
Wait a minute. I want to be clear. So there is another investigation on that issue specifically going on at the Justice Department right now?
Yes.
And probably other unmaskings that took place in the final days of the Obama-Biden administration. Is that accurate?
Actually, a much longer period of time.
Even before that?
Yes.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Those are causing far more deaths through the spread of COVID-19 than, some protesters at some building in Portland, Oregon.
They recognize that some people did something.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. 844-500-4242. 844-500-4242. We have lots of Biden cuts today, some from yesterday. Some from today. You know, I always quote the famous Kurt Vonnegut novel, Slaughterhouse-Five. One of the first lines, maybe the first line, is Billy Pilgrim has come unstuck in time. Well, just a few moments ago, Joe Biden yet again became unstuck in time.
But you know, in the 2020 census, which is now 2 censuses ago, soon to be,
so he thinks it's the year 2000? Or does he think it's the year 2040? I don't know. I don't even know how to interpret him becoming unstuck in time. But he was unstuck. There's no doubt about that. All right. Before we get back to the Joe Biden sound cuts, I have to tell you, my favorite story of the day so far, it comes from Portland, Oregon. And of course, there's a dispute going on. The governor, Katie Brown, says that the feds are getting out for sure. And the feds are saying, no, we're not getting out until we can be sure that they're going to protect the federal courthouse downtown. But there's another story here. Apparently on Monday night, early Tuesday morning, one of the little Antifa snowflakes threw a, what they call it, an IED, but it's a bomb. Threw a bomb at the federal courthouse, and it exploded up against the wall. And you know they got pictures of him, right? And he was wearing this really stylish Antifa. They call it a reflective vest. It looks it's kind of like a fake bulletproof vest. But it's kind of distinctive there. I'm not familiar. I've never owned either a reflexive vest or a bulletproof vest, but this was fairly distinctive looking. So they got pictures of it and they put it out online. And apparently there's this department store called Hibbert Department Store in Portland that sells the vest. And so some of the people in some of the internet people, the basement guys, started looking through the social media for this department store, and they found some reviews of the vest. And so this this no-nonsense granny said, "This is a really excellent product, this reflective vest. I bought it for my grandson, who's a terrorist, every night, and he really loves going down to the courthouse and throwing bleep, you know, and screaming and yelling." And not only did she give up the fact that she had bought the thing, she posted a picture of him lounging on a car outside the courthouse, and it's exactly the guy who was throwing the bomb. So he didn't get "Mommy, Nana busted me. Now I'm going to Club Fed." Yes, Grace.
As someone who does a lot of this kind of investigating into finding certain people, I just want to say to the Nana, you're making it too easy for us. We like the chase. We like having to figure out who these people are. Okay? You don't just put their picture on a Yelp review and end it right there. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, when she put the... If she hadn't put the picture up there, they would have said, how many people have their nanas writing about buying the vest here in Portland, Oregon? But in case there was any doubt, you know, in a criminal case, you have to get beyond a reasonable doubt, right? She posts the picture. And it's the same guy wearing the same vest. It's good stuff. Email Alan says, "You have a favorite story from Portland, Oregon? How can you choose?" How can you beat that story? That's the feel-good story of the day, I think. And of course, and the thing is, too, it's all over conservative media, but it's not going to be on the network newscast, even though it is it's a heartwarming story. It's the kind of human interest story. 844-500-4242. You should see what they're saying about this, what the grandmother's going to have to buy him now that he's going to prison. And he's a nice looking young man, if you know what I mean. He's going to do very well in prison. Oh boy. 844-500-4242. That's the toll free number of the Howie Carr Show. Okay, I know we have more good feel-good stuff. We're going to play some Biden cuts here. This is most of these are Biden cuts from yesterday in his when he came out of the basement in Wilmington and walked across the street and then forgot where he was, as you know. Well, we might as well start with that. We played it yesterday, but let's just to set it up.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Kingswood Community Center. Actually, that's the one down I used to work as a joke. You didn't know where we were. Anyway, it's great to be here. And
he's become unstuck in time, and he's become unstuck in geography. Doesn't know what year it is. Doesn't know where he is in a building. But he knows who he wants to help. Cut six.
It's also about jobs. Good-paying jobs. Financial stability, building wealth for families of color.
Families of color. And he's going to pick a running mate, a woman of color. Just ask him. And then, of course, there was my favorite, most of everyone's favorite cut from yesterday, cut nine.
We can't rebuild our economy and meet this climate crisis.
This climate crisis. The VIPs are enjoying this. This is what you come for, right?
You could almost say he was being a little racist there if he were talking about China and he said climate crisis.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Yeah, they do make some. Yeah, W.C. Fields. I was reading a book about him. He used to like to do that kind of dialect humor. He was big into that. Okay, cut 11.
My PAN would pay and support our caregivers who overwhelmingly, as I said, are women of color.
His PAN? Could I get me one of those PANs? Does Popeil make the magic pan that pays the money?
Pan would pay and support.
Wow. Honest Howie's magic pan. It will pay and support. It will supply you with your needs. Okay, we told you last week about his plan for elderly childhood education. Well, that was such a good idea, his plan for elderly childhood education, he repeated it again. Cut 12.
We don't just put millions of Americans to work in new care and elderly and early childhood education jobs.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's just have some just random mumbling. Cut 13.
He never gives up the pursuit of the full promise of America, and that's who we are.
He never gives up full promise of America. That's who's he talking about here? Okay. Let's have him getting lost again. Cut 20.
2020 campaign thing to try to scare the devil out of the American people. And what's happened is it has this, look, Mike, when the president decided he had to walk.
Joe, what year is it? What state are you in, other than a state of confusion?
But you know, in the 2020 census, which is now 2 censuses ago.
One more, and then we'll go to a break. 8, cut 8.
We will mobilize the biggest investment in rebuilding our country since World War II.
What did he say? Rehabilitating?
Rehabilitating our country since World War II.
World War II. Oh, we've been in, yeah, he's mentioned World War II before. It's like, you know, you think the, what do they call it? The Smoot-Hawley tariffs caused World War II. Didn't cause World War II, it caused World War II. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return after this brief commercial break.
This is Deb in Danielson, Connecticut.
This is Greg in Boston, Mass.
This is Elizabeth in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Most home security companies try to trap you with high prices and tricky contracts. SimpliSafe has everything you need to protect your home with none of the traditional drawbacks. Go to SimpliSafeHowie.com and get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should the feds leave Portland, Oregon?
No. Hell no. Do you trust Ted Wheeler or Katie Brown? They're terrible. They're worse than Fry and Waltz in Minnesota. They're worse than Parker and Walsh in Massachusetts.
83% say no, they should stay there.
Yeah. I didn't believe it when she announced that they were pulling out and then said they'd been acting as an occupying force. I mean, you know, come on. Who thought that was a legitimate response? All right. 844-500-4242. Let's play. You know, the Republicans are having a convention, or the Democrats are. Is it the Republicans or the Democrats convention that he's talking about? Okay. It's the Republican convention. Joe's not too clear on where it's happening, because there were parts of it were supposed to be in 2 different states. So he has enough problems with one state. Cut 25.
A rhetorical question. I'm not expecting you to answer it. Do you think the president all of a sudden decided not to go to Tallahassee because he no longer, he thought it was the interest of the public? He decided...
Jacksonville.
I mean, Jacksonville, Florida. I'm thinking of the capital. To go to Florida, to Jacksonville?
Do you think he ever went to Orlando? How about Pensacola? Tampa, St. Pete? I feel a remarkable kinship with St. Petersburg. They call it God's waiting room. And I think I'm there. eating some tapioca pudding. And this was my favorite one from yesterday, though, Cut 21.
As you've heard me say, coming down at Escalator today announced he's going to get rid of those Mexican rapists and judges. I mean, this is... So...
Rapists and judges. 347 says, wouldn't it be something if Antifa Vest Boy went on trial in the very courthouse he was trying to destroy? You know, when you're convicted of a crime, they before sentencing, they let your friends and relatives write letters to the judge. I've written a few in my day. And so Granny could write a letter.
He's a good boy, a very good boy.
I'm sorry I posted that picture of him looking so very, very village people, posing provocatively on that burnt out hulk of a car outside the courthouse. And now he's in a jam. Russ, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Russ.
You know, Howie, really, I cannot wait for these debates. Now, you know the media is going to give him the questions ahead of time. And his handlers are going to be practicing with him the answers. And you wait and see. He's going to mix up the questions with the answers, and he's going to give the answer for the, you know, the wrong answer for certain questions.
So he thinks he's going to be on Jeopardy?
It is going to be great entertainment, I'll tell you. I am looking forward to those debates.
I can't believe they've got him out as much as they're putting him out now. I mean, they must be certain that nobody other than a handful of radio talk shows and websites are going to start culling all this this comic gold. It's just amazing how bad he is. Thanks for the call, Russ. Joanne, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joanne.
Yeah, hi. I'm just calling about the Barsh thing yesterday. And
yes.
I was watching it, and I kept thinking of the old Soviet show trials they used to have. And
yes.
Also, I went to the Soviet Union. I went to the Soviet Union in 1974, and I went to a museum called the Museum of Atheism and Religion.
Yeah.
So underneath every display, underneath every Christian display, they had, it would say, it's a myth. It's a myth. So this is the leftist way of, like, downplaying anything. It's a way of dismissing a good idea, you know? So they
yeah.
say, it's a myth. Like, that's stupid. Yeah. They're not going to accept it.
There was a great column today by Andrew McCarthy on National Review Online, the former federal prosecutor. And he was just saying how horrible that was. And he said some days he gets depressed for the future of America. And he said this was one of those days after watching these people. And they will, and he said, and it's so true, he said they will say or do anything. They have no regard for common decency, for the truth, for any kind of decorum. All they want is power. And he said anyone who wants power as much as those people so obviously do, those are the people you have to keep furthest away from power because they're going to abuse it. Yes.
I felt that same way yesterday, and the only time I had also felt that way was watching Brett Kavanaugh
yeah.
during those hearings, where you just thought, these don't even seem like good people.
Yeah. I'll read that whole column to you. Andrew McCarthy, National Review Online. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studio.
Are you a paid campaign surrogate? Are you being compensated?
Never received. Let me be clear. You get paid to shape a liberal narrative. You get paid to attack this president.
It's
I don't
a simple
get a
question.
Dime for this president. I don't get a dime from the campaign. Everything
that's
I've
that's
done
right.
is in me and based on my principles. And see, that's the problem. When an African American that's
Sir,
elected
I did not raise your
let
racist.
Me finish now. Let me
no,
finish.
Wait,
let me
no,
finish.
That was on MSNBC this morning. That was Representative Vernon Jones from Georgia, state representative, being interviewed by Craig Melvin. And this is the second time on MSNBC where a black supporter of President Trump has been asked if basically he was on the payroll. I mean, it's really it's just outrageous. I don't blame Representative Jones for being angry about it. And again, it's a pattern. We'll play the whole cut as we go through it. But right now, Representative Vernon Jones, he's a Democrat state rep from Georgia. He's on the line with us. Representative Jones, I don't blame you for being angry about that question. You there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. I said, welcome to the show, first of all, again. And I don't blame you for being angry about that question. Were you weren't expecting that, were you?
Well, let me say this, Howie. First of all, thank you for letting me come on your show. And to all your listeners, they can always follow me on Twitter at Rep Vernon Jones. I wasn't angry, Howie. I am passionate, and I was disappointed, if you will. I wasn't angry, but I was disappointed that I would have to be questioned because I'm an African American, which reflects the bigotry in the Democratic Party and in liberal media, that I am supporting President Trump not because of his policies, but because he's given me 30 pieces of silver. That's disappointing. And another young man was on MSNBC earlier. They asked him the same thing because of his support of the president. But the same gentleman, Craig, who was talking to me earlier during the presidential debate among Democrats, there was an African-American on the show who worked with the Obama administration who had come out for Pete Buttigieg. And at the very beginning, the host from NBC said, listen, here's someone who worked with the Obama administration, now I work for Pete Buttigieg. He's not being paid. He's supporting him because he feels this in his heart. Well, so if I'm black and I'm supporting a Democrat, then I'm feeling it in my heart. If I'm black and I'm supporting Donald Trump or Republican, then I must be getting paid. And that's quite frankly just reality with liberals and with the Democratic Party. And that's part of what I've been saying about the Democratic Party, that they're full of bigotry. Now, I support Donald Trump based on my core values that I was reared with on that farm in North Carolina. Hard work, not wanting the government to do everything for you, to be self-independent and self-reliant. At the same time, appreciate opportunities and take advantage of those opportunities. I went to a historical black college, proud to say it, at North Carolina Central University. This president has been very helpful,
right,
with funding of historical black colleges. As a small business person and knowing people have been in small businesses, this president has helped them. Farmers. I grew up on a farm. I know how important it is for these farmers to get help and support. And so I just support the president's policy, strong on military and supporting law enforcement. I had to command a very large police department. I've been on both sides of it. And so it's my core beliefs in how I was reared, not me being paid. Why I support this president.
Right. I mean, I think, being in a state legislative district that's probably predominantly black, it would be a lot easier for your political career if you just kind of towed the line and went with the Democrat Party, right? I mean, you wouldn't get asked these kinds of questions. You wouldn't be disrespected like this if you'd just fallen in line behind Joe Biden, right?
You know what? That's just disrespecting not only me and the black community, but white people and journalism. It's disrespectful to journalism because they're taking their opinion and trying to shape others' opinion as opposed to just reporting the facts and let people make up their own minds. Their number one thing is to convince people not to support President Trump. That's MSNBC's goal. And if anybody's getting paid, their hosts are being paid to shape that narrative. And you're seeing a lot of journalists now leaving these liberal media organizations. Why? Because they can't be objective anymore. They have to take a political stand or else they're not accepted in the organization, from New York Times to other locations. So a lot of people have been disrespected because of the way journalism has taken its turn with the liberal media.
Yeah, look at the editorial page editor of the New York Times. I mean, he's got all the credentials, and his brother is a Democrat U.S. senator, and they still fired him because he ran an op-ed piece from Senator Cotton from Arkansas, a Republican, and they had no qualms about any factual issues in the piece. They just didn't like it. Now they're trying to run. They're trying to run John Cass, the lead columnist of the Chicago Tribune, a guy. No, he's related to a former football player up here. They're trying to run him out of the Chicago Tribune because he's a conservative. You're right.
Well, there should be an outrage from the schools of journalism, from Curley and others, because now what are they teaching at these liberal colleges and universities? Are they teaching journalism with a political position? You know, so they're coming out anti another party, and so. But beyond that, though, Howie, this President Trump, has been spot on in terms of job creation, in terms of dealing with the foreign country, standing up to them. Not being taken advantage of. This administration has taken more of a hard line towards Russia than the previous administration. And his main comment today was the president, they're disappointed because the president didn't say on a phone call to Putin, tell me about these bounties that you're putting on U.S. citizens' heads, when nobody can verify that. They said for 3.5 years that the president was colluding with Russia. Now, we know that's a damn lie now. We know the facts and stuff are out there. Now, more is coming out where the deep state actually was trying to overthrow our democracy right here at home. And the Steele dossier supply of the fake news or the information that supposedly was the credibility of the dossier, that person is not from Russia. That person is right here at the Brookings Institute.
Right. And he's got two arrests for public intoxication. He hasn't been in Russia since he was 16 years old. 16.
And for 3.5 years, though, MSNBC and CNN and others have been saying, hey, the president was colluding. His campaign was colluding and literally turned people against the president based on a lie, based on hoax. Mm-hmm. And not even doing any stories on what's coming out now from these investigations and unclassified documents that's pointing to Comey, pointing to McCabe, pointing to Strokes, pointing to Page, and many others. But they won't even talk about that now.
Well, now I'm glad you brought this up, Representative Jones. The New York Times ran a story after this drunk from the Brookings Institute who left Russia when he was 16 years old. They when he was identified by conservative media, the New York Times wrote a story saying Trump allies expose FBI informant. He wasn't an FBI informant. He was a Hillary Clinton informant. She was paying him with beer money, you know, for him to make up stuff about Donald Trump, her opponent. And they're making it sound like he was some kind of, big spy for the United States. It's absurd. The whole thing is. Yeah. So one of the texters that says you should have asked the interviewer if he was on Biden's payroll. But in fact, you did, didn't you?
Well, what I say was he was the one getting paid. He was being paid by MSNBC to shape a narrative that's anti-President Trump.
Yeah.
So he's the one who's being paid by, and I'd say that they're extension of the Biden campaign. They're not being paid by the Biden campaign directly. However, they're being paid, those reporters are being paid to take a political position, to take a side with a particular candidate that they like and be against the one that they don't like. Again, he's being paid to make a political, to shape a political narrative, not me. I'm doing it based on my core beliefs, my core feelings. And let me tell you, Howie, I have not had a conversation with President Trump other than when I had a conversation with him with the round table dealing with law enforcement, where many others was in the room. But the only other time I had a conversation with the president was yesterday when I was in the Oval Office, and we were talking about making this country healthy again. I saw firsthand, I looked and sat with this man, this president, and I saw the human being that felt for the need of this country. It was wearing on him that the people of this country are having to deal with this COVID, and he's determined and he's committed to make America healthy again. He is taking it very serious. He's very passionate about it, and I didn't even know he was the president. I saw his true feelings, and he was talking to me just like you and I talking, or my next-door neighbor, or my pastor, whatever. Look, we have to do whatever it takes to make our people, get our people healthy, get this country healthy, because health is wealth. And you know, it was just amazing. I wish that everybody could see that, but the media doesn't want to show that.
No.
They want to show him or shape the narrative that he's not understanding of the nature of this, that he's not caring. He's probably the most caring person in this country because he's the president, he's our leader, and he wants to lead us out of this pandemic crisis, and he's working around the clock, including putting pressure in the private sector to get a cure, get something here to wipe this away. And so I feel confident in him. That's why I'm with him. I saw Joe Biden. We know he stays in his basement most of the time, but I saw him just recently leaving, I think, his campaign office, and people were leading him around as if he was familiar where he was. That's not who I want us to lead us through this crisis.
But
my prayers are with him health-wise. Don't get me wrong, because he's an American. Let me tell you, I love all Americans, regardless of political differences, but he's not capable and able right now. And President Trump is as sharp as they come. Let me tell you.
I agree. And if people are unfamiliar with you, Representative Jones is the guy who said, "I am black and I ain't voting for Joe Biden." I should let you repeat that because you could say it better than me. Why don't you say that again if you can?
Well, going back to some of the bigotry and the Democratic Party and Joe Biden seeing black voters as a captive audience that they don't need to earn their support. When he was on the Charlemagne show, when he made that comment, he said, "Listen, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black." Well, ain't, that's jive talk he's talking. I guess he's supposed to, you know, call himself fitting in. I don't want to hear no damn jive talk. He wouldn't say that to a group of white women, no group of men, white men. Why would he say that? You know, and then, you know, I want to make it clear to him, look, I am black, but I ain't voting for him. And a lot of other blacks ain't voting for him, if you will. And so the fact of it is, because I don't think he's not a nice man, not because I don't think maybe he wants to be president or maybe he's committed to be president, but he can't do the job.
No, he can't.
The difference between Joe Biden and President Trump is this. Joe Biden has a dream. If you elect me, give me another chance after 49 years, I'll do something this time. President Trump has a record in just 3.5 years of getting the job done.
Representative Jones, we got to break it off, but I really appreciate you being with us again, and I'm sorry you had to take that BS today from Craig Melvin. But thank you very much, Representative Vernon Jones, Democrat state rep from Georgia. I'm Howie Carr.
If you change the station, the moon bats win. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
This is Paul in North Andover, Mass.
This is Luana in Lexington, Massachusetts.
This is Lauren in Augusta, Maine, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. We don't have much time before the top of the hour, but might be time to check in with Joe Biden again. He was at some kind of Latino thing this morning. I don't know if he was. I guess it was a basement. It was part of the basement tour. But he was talking about his wife. Cut 37.
My wife is, as you know, Jill is a professor, a teacher, taught in high school, now teaches. I think it, don't hold me to the number, but a vast majority of her students at Northern Virginia Community College are immigrants, are foreign students, are not, and English is not their first language.
What's your first language, Mr. Vice President? Okay. 844-500-4242. Cut 10.
Home health workers, child care workers, who are often women, women of color, and immigrants, are too often underpaid, underseen, and undervalued.
Underseen. Why are they under? Are they underseen because they're short? I don't know. Here he gets into more.
You better watch your microaggressions, bro.
Well, I'm not the one who asked him this. Listen to this next question. Cut 19.
But as you might know, the president.
Can you turn your mic down a little bit so I can hear you better? I'm sorry.
Helps to be a little taller, I suppose.
No, I didn't mean that.
You're just a little underseen. That's all. It's nothing personal. You understand? Joe Biden. Cut to.
For generations, Americans who were black, brown, Native American, immigrants, have always been found, they pushed out, not fully included.
Always been found, they pushed out. How do we know they didn't pull in instead of push out? I'm Howie Carr.